So, and our summer series is officially over. Today is the last day. Where's my flyers, guys? Today is the last of the greatest command, loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we had a great journey with it, some great preaching. Brothers did a great job. So enjoy the last of it. We're going to turn to Matthew 22, 34 to 40. And it reads, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophet hangs on these." Now the teachers of the law could have never asked a better question. In all the 613 laws, Jesus summed them up in two commands. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This was indeed an important command. It was so important that in Deuteronomy, it commanded them, "These commands that I give you today are to be on your heart. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gate." This is what it means to be consumed with God's words and God's command. For all of us with bad memories, this is a good way to remember. See, to the Jews, this was called the Shema, or the Shema. The Jews recited it twice a day, yet they truly didn't understand what it meant to love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, much less to love their neighbor. Jesus later said in John 5:38-39, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life." See, knowing it by heart is different from having it on your heart. One is in the memory bank, but may not be obeyed. The other is in your everyday thought and action. We seem to use the word heart a lot as disciples today, right? Working on my heart this, my heart that. Bro, you need to fix your heart. So much is said about the heart. The greatest commandments state, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart." Let's start with the heart, because I can't love God with all my heart if my thoughts and attitude are not influenced by his command. That's right. So my point number one is, guard your heart. See, the heart is the core of our identity, the source of all thoughts, words, and action. When we think of the heart, sometimes we think of that organ inside the chest that pumps blood, right? Even though we say the heart, we are really talking about our inmost being. Right. Human intellect or human intellectual activities take place in the heart. You know in your heart. The heart is where you think and make sense of the world, where you discern truth and error. You feel emotions in your heart, the phrase broken heart. It's where you have fears and distress and depression. Choices are made in the heart. The heart is where I'm motivated by my desire. David had in his heart to build God's temple, but that wasn't God's plan. It was in his heart. He had it on his heart, but it wasn't God's plan. The heart is a center of human existence. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. When Jesus said, no one is good, he's speaking of the human heart. Because Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. That's like a death sentence. You know, they tell you you got a disease, sorry, we have no cure. People say, I know myself. No, you don't. Whenever somebody tell you, I know myself, they're in trouble. You know, Proverbs 22:6 says, start a child off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. It also said in Deuteronomy, impress them on your children's heart. Jesus said in Matthew 19:8, he told the Pharisees, Moses permitted you to divorce your wife because your hearts were hard. By the time we are older, most of our hearts are hard. But God knew we couldn't fix ourselves. No one can cure their own hearts. It's beyond cure. We've proven that over and over from the beginning of time, Adam and Eve, the days of Noah. We have not changed. Jeremiah 6:7, God said, I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. We too can find favor in the eyes of the Lord, no matter what the condition of our hearts is. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That leads me to point number two. We have a God-given conscience. God has not left us defenseless to a corrupt mind and heart. One of the defense he has given us is a conscience. And Romans 2:15 says, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometime accusing them and at other time even defending them. One, we need the word of God written on our heart. And our conscience also is bearing witness. Our conscience is something in us that instinctively know right from wrong. You don't have to be a disciple or have the Holy Spirit. We all have a conscience because there's sin in the world. Adam and Eve didn't know they were naked until they sinned. The conscience tells us when something don't seem right. Our conscience and thought to reason works together. Our conscience make us feel guilty, and our thoughts kick in, and we begin to battle and wrestle in our mind. It's like the good angel on one side and the bad angel on the other. We don't want to look bad. We don't want to mess up. I know I'm a prideful person. No one likes to feel guilty. What we know comes to thought and tries to justify or verify what the conscience is telling us. We can even have a guilty conscience even when we didn't do anything wrong. I may make a promise to do something and I couldn't fulfill that promise. I feel guilty. And if you're a parent, you tell your child no, and then you look at that puppy dog face and then you feel guilty. Kids do that to you, right? Our conscience feed off of what we know and learn. That's why knowing the scriptures help our conscience and our thought to make the right choices. 2 Corinthians 10:4 to 6 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish stronghold. We demolish argument and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is completed. The greatest battle takes place in the heart. Don't worry about who you're arguing with. The battle is in your heart. There are strongholds that need to be torn down. Strongholds like baggage, scars from the past, trauma, negative upbringing from the past, false information. The greatest battles take place in the heart. I know I need to do the right thing sometimes, and I feel guilty. But in my mind, I'm fighting it, hoping that God will overlook my disobedience. Or it's not that bad. Or I can blame shift like Adam. It's that wife you gave me. Sometimes I argue with Jackie, and later on I feel guilty. You know, I feel guilty for my words and my arrogance. In my thoughts and my baggage of pride, I refuse to apologize. That stronghold of defensiveness. She may think she was right, and I'm just looking stupid. See, the scripture says I need to capture that thought, that vain imagination, that pretension, negative feeling and assumption. Bring it into captivity, the thought that are against God's words. Verse 6 says, to be ready to punish the act of disobedience by apologizing, really. It's hard for a prideful man like me. I don't only need to apologize, but I need to capture that negative thought. I need to replace it with what Paul said in Philippians 4:8. He said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, Antoine and Pam gave us some practicals this week in our marriage devotional on Wednesday. Thinking positive, have something positive to say. I think sometimes we remember all the bad, all the wrong. It could be 90% good, 10% bad, and we only remember the 10%. The thing is, if we become numb to sin, ignore our God-given conscience, our hearts will become hard. As Acts 2:28-27 says, "For the people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them." Wow. Only God can heal the heart. God didn't leave us helpless or hopeless. Pay attention to your conscience. If your conscience is telling you, or what is telling you, doesn't make sense, you have the Word of God to judge that thought. That leads me to my third and last point. We have God and the Word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. It judges the thought and attitude of the heart." The Bible, the Word of God, is powerful. The Word of God pierces the soul and the spirit. You have no idea what that is, right? Because I don't. Soul and the spirit goes together. This also covers the heart and the mind. When you feel guilty, the conscience is working. But how do you know the conscience is correct or not? That's where the Bible comes into play. It's the final judge, as the scripture says. It confirms whether the conscience is right or your thoughts are right. Trust the Word of God over your heart. The conscience can accuse you or excuse you, but you have to have the Word of God, the final judge. Not people, not social media, sometimes not even what you know, because that's baggage too. Paul said, "I consider everything I've known rubbish." God's word is the perfect criteria on which to judge your thought. And it's usually the last thing we remember. Are you quoting scriptures when you're in an argument? I don't think so. See, we're usually quoting scriptures when we're trying to convince somebody else. I know I do that. In the back of my mind, you know what? I need to, I'm going to read Revelation to him right now. I need to read Revelation to myself. Resistance to God's words create a hard heart. Submission to God's word create a soft heart. See, we take God's word for granted. It's just a book written by man. You may get your daily scriptures on an app. That may not be enough. I know I do that sometime, but by the end of the day, I don't remember that. In Psalm 1, 2, and 3, it says, "But who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on it, on his law, day and night? That person is like a tree planted by a stream of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper." We have to be that tree planted by that stream, getting fed continually and consistently, massaging our hearts and strengthening our God-given conscience so that it can alert us. The heart determines the course of our lives. It determines our decisions we make, including becoming a disciple. But when all else fail, we can do as David did. You know, David committed a few sins, right? David got on his knees in Psalm 51:10. He said, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." It's deep within us. We can't touch it, much less to fix it. Our God and his words can penetrate our heart and judge our deepest thought. God would always help us. Ezekiel 32:36-26 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Only God knows our heart, and he alone can fix it. I can act like I'm good on the outside, but deep within me, or deep within my heart, if people only knew the thoughts in my mind, especially for people that I don't care for much. You know, those people on the job. You guys don't have to worry. I love you guys. You're not on that list. But to think of it, can you really control the thoughts in your mind? I know I can't. I can barely capture the thought. In conclusion, I want to say this. I want to love God with all my heart, all my mind, with all my soul. I want to love my neighbor as well. But if I don't guard my heart from becoming hard, it will be impossible. See, there is a watchman at the gates of my heart, and it's called a conscience. It warns me that something doesn't seem right. My thoughts intervene and tries to verify truth or fault. We need to know God's words in order to determine the final judgment on the matter. Else, we run with our own feelings. And lastly, take it to God for more understanding. And we often don't do that. We also often wrestle in our mind, wrestling with our feeling, wrestling with our emotion, wrestling with what we know and what we used to do and what people told us to do. I love what Philippians 4:6 says. The Lord is near. He's always there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, everything you think you know, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.